Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, and as always on the Monday show, we're going to be looking back at the racing from the weekend and give our views on some of the big weekend winners. This week, I'm joined by Chris Loader and debutant on the Postcast, Sam Hendry. Welcome, Sam. How are things?
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Things are very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. It was a good weekend with Group 1 action all over the globe. We had action in Del Mar, we had action in France, and also Group 1 action at Haydock with the Betfair Sprint Cup. We will get on to that. And Chris, the autumn campaign is starting to step up now. Are you looking forward to the back end of the flat season?
Yeah, this is one of my favourite times of the year. I think we finally get to see who the real champions are. It's not everyone's cup of tea, because at this time of year, the ground starts to sometimes go on the soft side. So people maybe say it favours those kind of horses. But yeah, I like this time of year. We've got also as well those good juvenile races coming up later on at Newmarket in the autumn. So yeah, really looking forward to the next few weeks. And yeah, hopefully we can see some good action.
Yeah, the Ledger this week and coming up along with the Irish Champion Stakes. Following weekend, got the Air Gold Cup. Then we've got future Champions Day, which is at Newmarket, and also the Arc and Champions Day itself at Ascot. It's a really good time of the year for the flat. And on this week's show, we'll be looking back at Haydock, Ascot, Kempton, Longchamp, and some action from the US, which we never usually do on the show. So looking forward to getting stuck into that. But firstly, before starting the show, I want to mention the sad passing of Jack de Bromhead at the weekend. Son of trainer Henry de Bromhead, at the age of 13, Jack passed away in a pony racing incident in County Kerry in Ireland. His family described him as a once-in-a-lifetime child who touched all our lives in the best way possible. He was an amazing son who told us he loved us every day. He had an overbrimming heart of loyalty, empathy, patience, pluck, courage, and how he made us laugh. Now, there's some beautiful quotes that you can see in the paper as well as on the Racing Post website and app. And thoughts are with all family, friends, and everyone who knew and loved Jack. Let's get into the race, and then we start off with Haydock. The highlight on the card was the Sprint Cup, but two races we want to discuss prior to that. And we start off with the Ascendant Stakes, a listed race for the two-year-olds. Now, this was won by Naval Power. Looked in a bit of trouble at one stage, to be fair, but William Buick, as calm as ever, ended up getting the job done in good style. And obviously, quotes are going to be coming for this horse for the 2,000 guineas. Antipost best price, currently 12-1 for that race. Sam, were you convinced by this horse?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. I mean, he was 3-1 on, so you expect it was what you expected. But he had to work hard for it. He'd have learned a lot from that. Like you said, there was a point where it looked like he was possibly going to get trapped in, but obviously once William Buick angled him out and got him going, he finished very strongly. I think he'll appreciate it. Sounded like he'd be going to the Royal Lodge next, was what Charlie Appleby said post-race. He obviously should have won that race last year with Caribus, who went on to win the Guineas. I wouldn't be totally bowled over at his prospects for the Guineas. I think I think he'll get further than a mile anyway. 8-1, I think there might be a couple of others in the Appleby yard that might eclipse them, but it was a solid performance, and you can't crib an unbeaten horse 4 from 4.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, look at it, 12-1 is the best price currently, and you look at that market, Chris, at the moment. I think the top eight in the market are either trained by Charlie Appleby or Aidan O'Brien. Obviously the likes of Victory Dance, Silver Knot, High Bank, Noble Style, For Godolphin and Appleby. I think we're likely to see High Bank, whose maiden form is working out to be exceptional. I think we should be seeing that horse in the Flying Scotsman at Doncaster later this week. What did you make of this run?
Yeah, I mean, he's thrown his hat into the ring. I think there are a few others, like you were touching on there, that could be more persuasive when it comes to the Guineas next year. Just looking at the form of that race at Haydock, you beat Dance and Magic, who's still a maiden, you know. So it didn't look the strongest race on paper. Good ride, like Sam said, by Will Buick. Was very calm, but it looked like he got in a bit of trouble. But yeah, I think you have to respect him, but I think we'll know where we are with him with maybe some of those targets in the autumn. If he does go to the Royal Lodge, I see he's got an entry in the National Stakes, a race that Charlie Appleby likes to target, the Dewhurst as well. So yeah, let's see how he fares in one of those races before we start thinking about the 2000 guineas. But you have to respect him what he's done so far, and yeah, he's one to keep on the shortlist.
Absolutely. I think we could be seeing quite a few two-year-old stars this season, and hopefully that does transition into the three-year-old campaign as well. We have a really good flat season next year with some of these horses. Let's move on now to the Group 3 on the card, which was the Superior Mile Stakes, won by Triple Time. Now, this was quite a layoff for this horse coming back and did this in impressive style. I think their plan is to go to the QE2 on Champions Day. Chris, Triple Time took its time to get going, but in the end did this very nicely. What do you think the chances are of winning a Group 1 later in the season?
Hard to say, really, because the race really did fall apart. We only had four runners. He's beaten Takarid Bay, who's a good handicapper, maybe a listed horse at best. I'm not sure we should be getting carried away too much. He did the job well on his seasonal reappearance, but you had the likes of Reach for the Moon, Bayside Boy, Dark Shift and Brunch. They were all non-runners. I think if they were in the race, I'm not sure he would have won it. I really thought that if Bayside Boy had turned up, he was going to go well. I thought that he could be forgiven his latest run. And I just think a couple of those horses that were taken out were probably better than him at this current time. Not to say that he could go on to bigger and better things. It's hard to know with him because, I don't think it was a great race. So, yeah, you're just, again, it's one of those horses that, yeah, you can't like disrespect him too much, but I would have my doubts moving forward about the form.
Okay, yeah, Triple Time, a few doubts there from Chris. But Sam, like I say, like a whole year off the track and came back and did that in fairly good style in the end. And you'd like to think there's a lot more to come from the horse.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. You know, like Chris said, the race did, you know, ended up bearing almost no resemblance to the one we thought we were going to have on Friday. But, you know, I mean, Reach for the Moon was the favourite. I think he's vastly overrated. So I think Triple Time would have had a good say in that, regardless of who turned up. And I know Kevin Ryan's very big on Triple Time earlier in the year. He was meant to go to the 2000 guineas, and Kevin Ryan was very hopeful of him for that race until the setback ruled him out. Until now, like you said, a year off the track, comes back, gets the win. There will definitely be more to come. Is he up to winning a Group 1 QE2? Yeah, it's probably too early to say, but he looks a very good prospect, and I think he'd have been right there regardless of who turned up or not, given the ground.
Yeah, no, I think the Triple Time obviously it'd be exciting to see if this horse can be competitive in a Group 1. I know that Adam Ryan was on the feature show on our Racing Post YouTube channel this week. What a shout! And gave a big mention for this horse, saying that this horse will be, you know, will come on a lot for this run. So I think they'll be delighted at the fact this horse has won. And moving forward, could go on to much bigger targets. Now, we'll go on to the final race we'll look at from Haydock, which was the big one, the Betfair Sprint Cup Stakes, a Group 1, part of the Kipco British Champion Series. And it was won by Minzal, who was favourite for most of the week, didn't end up going off favourite, ended off going second favourite, but did this in really impressive style. And I think a few people kind of thought this horse was quite an inconsistent horse, but I think we're just finding the feet with Minzal. And the Champion Sprint Stakes looks like the plan for him. Sam, this was so impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah. Best performance of the week by a distance, I thought. Really, really impressive. You know, he's just improving. He's improved through the summer. He just seems to be getting better and better every time. It was never in doubt, was it? You know, Jim Crowley had him. It just motored past them and beat a good field with ease. You know, the sprint division has been a bit muddling this year. We've not really found a star, but he could be the one. And if he goes Ascot, Champion Sprint, possibly a rematch with Highfield Princess, who's beaten him twice this season. But judging on that, and given the fact he finished third in the race last year, he wouldn't be against him reversing that form.
Yeah, and Chris, I mentioned the Champion Sprint Stakes as potentially the next race for this horse. And I think Jim Crowley did say to Owen Burrows that this horse would be better on with a little bit of juice in the ground, which this horse is likely to get on Champions Day, but did this in good style on quicker going.
Yeah, it was very impressive. He deserves, I think, to win a Group 1. He'd been knocking on the door a couple of times this season behind the likes of Highfield Princess. I just think that actually enhances Highfield Princess claims more, because obviously she went on to win the Nunthorpe over five, where I thought it might be a bit too sharp for her. But she's some mare this season, picking up some really big races. And she's had the beating on Minzao, like Sam said, on a couple of occasions. And the fact that she didn't turn up here probably left the door ajar for him to go and collect his group one. I think if they met again on Champions Day, I probably still would be in Highfield Princess's camp. You know, she's got some tracks she's done well at in the past. And yeah, I don't think there's probably too much between them, but I think if they do clash again, I'd probably be in her camp. But Minzao, you can't fault him. He's done it well. He was very good. But I'm just, again, not sure about some of the horses in behind. You know, I just think that maybe they're not really that they're up to group one level. And I think he took advantage of winning a weak group one. But yeah, fair play to him. And Aaron Burrows as well does very well with his small string horses. Doesn't have many, but when he does get one, he certainly knows how to target them.
Yeah, Aaron Burrows is having a fantastic season. He really is. And Minzao won the highlights for him this season. Currently favourite for the Champion Sprint Stakes in October. But I mean, Highfield Princess is in the race. I'm not sure whether they're going to take up the opportunity out in Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup. I think that was mentioned as a plan. So we'll have to see if they meet again. But yeah, very impressed by Minzao. Well done to Owen Burrows and Jim Crowley. Now we'll look at one race from Kempton before going into our second part. And the race was the Unibet September Stakes, a Group 3 won by Mustadaf, a horse who absolutely loves the all-weather. Dubai Honor went into the race as favourite, Chris. And some have criticised the ride and said that, you know, the horse was left far too much to do. What did you make of this?
Yeah, I can see where those people are coming from. But I'm not sure really about Dubai Honor. I think he's had a few chances this season to get his head in front and has ultimately been very disappointing. I think everybody's going off his performance last year when he won the Qatar Prix d'Or on Arc Weekend. But he's not really come to fruition this year. He's had, a few chances. But going to the winner, Mustadaf, yeah, I think maybe that all-weather experience had helped him. When I was originally looking at the field, a lot of them didn't have all-weather experience in that race. And that's probably what made the difference. Also, what was interesting is how weak he was in the bet. And I think he opened up about 10-3 and was his final SP 6-1. So, yeah, there was a lot of market support for Dubai Honor. But I just don't think he's maybe as good as what we originally thought he might be this year. So yeah, fair play to Mustadaf. But yeah, I think we're starting to find out what Dubai Honor's what he's bringing to the table at the moment. He's a horse that I wouldn't be backing him.
Okay, Dubai Honor not for Chris potentially moving forward. I mean, I'm in a complete opposite camp. I actually like the fact that this horse could turn up back in the Champion Stakes where he finished second last year on softer ground, drop back to 10 furlongs again. I think 33-1 might be a massive price. And a day that's made for shocks, Champions Day, usually I've got a feeling he might actually run a huge race that day. Would you say I'm mad there, Sam?
No, I wouldn't say you're mad. I wouldn't be giving up on Dubai Honor, certainly, after that. You know, the race probably didn't pan out ideally for him. He was coming from way too far back, like you said earlier. But he finished really strongly. Yeah, you know, he finished second Champion Six last year. He'll definitely go back there. It would depend who comes up in opposition, I guess. You know, William Haggis might still run Baid there, in which case he'd have absolutely no chance. But I certainly wouldn't be giving up in Dubai Honor just yet.
Agreed. I think the Dubai Honors will actually win a big race this season. I think the awesome campaign's made for him. Would you say that, sir?
Yeah, definitely. William Haggis is being clear, you know, sort of the last couple of years at Dubai Honor. He needs a bit of cut on the ground, really, ideally. So, yeah, once we get to... We're in September now, so it's more coming into his season. But don't take away anything from Mustadaf. You know, mm-hmm. He was a worthy winner on the day. He's another that would probably prefer a bit of cut on the ground, I think. You know, he's won there back in the all-weather. He's been racing on... good to form ground off summer, but he's got a bit of form on soft, so I wouldn't rule him out from a another Group 2 or Group 3 in October time on a bit of softer ground back on turf. I think he's not just an all-weather specialist.
Okay, there we go. Well, that's it for Haydock and Kempton. We'll be back in just a few seconds. We'll be looking at the action, other action from the UK as well as some big races from around the world.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the podcast with myself, Sam Hart, Chris Loader and Sam Hendry. We move on now to Ascot, where we look at two races. I'll combine these races so we can discuss them at the same time, gents. We had the National Racehorse Week Handicap, which was won by Fresh, and Lavazza Stakes, which was won by Leia Kell for the Haggis team. Sam, I mean, Fresh is a horse who, look, I can never seem to get this horse right. I always think this horse wants some soft in the going, but it's won his last two races on quick going.
Yeah, he's just a really solid, consistent performer. And he loves Ascot. You know, it was a tough ask for him coming back after he won there last month, £4 higher. But it was a bit of a blanket finish, you know, which I think sort of could benefit him in the long run, because you'd think the handicapper maybe won't put him up again too much, and he'll be back at Ascot again possibly early next month with another shot of landing a good prize. He's just a really likable horse, and all credit to Danny Tugthorpe as well.
Yeah, I think moving forward, I mean, that horse again might be aimed at some of the big sort of mile handicaps down the line, especially at Ascot. Something like the Balmoral will probably be a long-term target for that horse. And Chris, Leia Kell, a horse who is in the same colours as Garcia, who was a bit of a hype horse for the Ebor this year, but this looks like a potential Ebor type for next year.
Yeah, possibly. He's one of those William Haggis horses, isn't he, that he just seems to go to a couple of novices, and then once they get into handicaps, they just seem to climb through the ranks. And William Haggis is very good with these horses, very patient. I think he won the race last year with Candleford, so he could be a similar mould to him. You know, he could even maybe come back here for one of the handicaps at the Royal Ascot meeting next year. I think he's a horse that William Haggis will be patient with, and he'll bring him along slowly. And yeah, you have to say he did very well at the weekend and is definitely a horse to keep note of for next time.
Yeah, certainly. I actually think that the last year's winner was actually won by Haggis, but I don't think it was Camden, but I want to say it was Chalkstream for Her Majesty.
Yeah,
but I'm right there. Yeah, I am. Yeah,
yeah. I think Candleford should have won, if I remember.
It was a good race, essentially, that one there. And were there any other performers from Ascot, Chris, that you wanted to know?
Yeah, there are a couple of others at Ascot in the last couple of races I was quite interested in. The first one of them was Crystal Caprice for Sir Michael Stout. Won as a short price favourite, should in the end. I put her up when we did our Goodwood review. I said she was a horse to watch out for next time out. I think at some point we will see her go up into maybe listed Group 3 company. Don't think she'll be a Group 1 filly, but I think there's definitely a pattern race to be had with her. She's from the family of Crystal Ocean as well, that Sir Michael Stout knows really well. So she's definitely a horse that I would keep following. And the other horse as well that I was very impressed with in the last race was When the Dealing's Done for Roger Till. Kind of lost his way a little bit When the Dealing's Done, but the thing I couldn't believe is how far he dropped down the handicap. He started off the season off a mark of 99, and he was running off a mark of 90 at the weekend. And if you went back a couple of runs, he wasn't far beaten in one of those competitive sprint handicaps at Ascot when he finished seventh by Mountain Peak off an £8 higher mark. So I thought going into the weekend off a mark of 90, I was quite keen on him to go well. And he absolutely hosed up. Now, I'm wondering if Roger Till is going to give him a shot in the Portland. He ran in the race last year and finished fifth. He's won the race, I think, before with Oxted. So it'd be interesting to see if he's turned out again quickly. And if there is a bit of rain around going into Doncaster this week, that's definitely going to play to his strengths. And yeah, he'll probably be turned out quickly again, and he could be well in under a penalty. So yeah, one to watch out for if he is entered in the Portland.
There we go. Okay, a couple of horses to note from Ascot. Now, away from the UK, we'll move on to Longchamp next, where we discuss the Prix de Moulin, the big Group 1 over a mile over there on Sunday. This was won by Dream Loper for the Ed Walker team. Now, we did, unfortunately, lose the Godolphin 2000 Guineas winner and St. James's Palace winner, Caribus, took a nasty tumble in the home straight. It was, unfortunately, a fatal injury and a really lovable horse. So, yeah, thoughts with connections there. The winner here, Sam, I mean, Dream Loper, a horse who, again, seems to love France. I mean, last two performances in France has absolutely hacked up. I don't know whether we're going to see this horse win a Group 1 in the UK. What are your thoughts?
No, possibly not. But that shouldn't take away from how Ed Walker's sort of campaigned her. You know, he's talked this filly up a lot. Oh, this mare up a lot sort of all year. And she's won him two Group 1s now. And that was a good performance. You know, obviously it was a massive shame what happened to Caribus. But that was a really good performance from Dream Loper. You know, Order of Australia in second is a fairly reliable yardstick. And she's beaten him five lengths. You know, Order of Australia was second in the race last year as well, beaten by a length and a bit by Baid. Not that I'm comparing Dream Loper to Baid in any sort of way, but you know, it gives an indication of the sort of performance Dream Loper put up there. I think they mentioned Breeders' Cup as possibly going as a the filly mare turf as a possible next route for Dream Loper, which, you know, European horses will probably dominate that race, and depending who else goes, you could have a fair chance.
Would you say that potentially with this horse potentially wanting a little bit of juice in the ground, do you not think that potentially, you know, like something like the QE2 could be ideal for this horse? Do you not think it might be too quick out in Keeneland, Sam?
Possibly, yeah. But not me making the decisions.
No, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? See what they have plans in mind. But yeah, look, maybe a trip to Keeneland could be on the cards for the Breeders' Cup. But Dream Loper was very impressive. What did you make of it, Chris?
Yeah, she was very impressive. Shame about Caribus, who I thought was coming with a good move before that accident. Yeah, you know, I thought he was going really well, and it would have been an interesting finish to the race. But take nothing away from Dream Loper, you know, it's been a good bit of targeting by Ed Walker. I'm not sure what it is about France, but like you say, she just seems to excel there. Looking at her entries, we were just talking about one race you didn't touch upon that she's entered in is the Sun Chariot Stakes at Newmarket. That, if I tell you what, if Saffron Beach turns up there, that could be one hell of a good match, couldn't it? I think that's where we could see her maybe get her Group 1 if it is in Britain. But yeah, if those two fillies both turned up, that would sure be one hell of a race. But yeah, take nothing away from Dream Loper, but maybe if she's running against the boys in Group 1 company in this country, I think maybe she just might get found out. But yeah, good performance by her at the weekend.
It was indeed. And Longchamp, they had other group races on the card on Sunday. I know that, Sam, you wanted to give a big mention for the Crisfords, who are having a fine season.
Yeah, yes. They're just on absolute fire at the moment. Like 14 winners from the last 25 runners. 56% strike rate. It's quite remarkable. You know, you look at the form, it's just a sea of ones and twos. They're on absolute fire. And yeah, West Wind Blows got them a Group 3 at Longchamp on Sunday. So, you know, any Crisford entries this week, keep a note of.
Yeah, the Crisford's in flying form, and yeah, worth keeping on the right side of going into the back end of the season. Now let's go over to America, which we haven't done. I don't think I've ever done here on the podcast. We're going to have to do it. Over in Del Mar, we had the TVG Pacific Classic Stakes on the dirt. This was won by Flightline in really, really impressive style. Probably the performance of the weekend, given a time for rating of 143 after this, an RPR of 140, which is £2 clear of Baid's performance in the Jubman International. Now, Sam, there were comparisons with Secretariat here. I mean, we've had Baid and Frankel, and now we've got Flightline and Secretariat. What did we make of this?
Yeah, well, he was absolutely outstanding, wasn't he? When I said Menzel was performance of the week, I should have qualified that by saying in Britain. In Britain only, yeah, because Flightline was something else. None of us were around to see Secretariat, so I, you know, couldn't really bring up too many comparisons there. But the way he dismantled, you know, a Dubai World Cup winner by 19 lengths at eased down. Mm. You know, it was quite remarkable. The comparisons with Baid are very tricky. You know, two very different disciplines, dirt and turf. You know, Flightline would beat Baid on dirt, and Baid would beat Flightline on turf. You know, but it was pretty mind blowing, wasn't it? Not the sort of win you're used to seeing in a top level race.
I think we've seen some good horses in behind. I don't think he's beaten nothing here, Sam. And I've got a feeling that this horse here is going to be, you know, one of the best dirt horses we've ever seen.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we had a good piece on the Racing Post website on Monday morning from Ron Woods, who's our race day editor and probably the expert on US racing at the Racing Post. And he was, you know, can hardly believe what he'd witnessed, you know. Hopefully we see him a few more times, Flightline. You know, his value at stud now is crazy, but hopefully he makes it to, and he's only raced five times, and he's four-year-old, so hopefully we can see him a couple more times before they do retire him. But he's certainly the best American horse in our lifetimes, I would say.
Yeah, I completely agree with this. And they have teased a five-year-old campaign with this horse. And obviously, I think the Breeders' Cup Classic is the next target. Currently, best price, I think, 6-4 for that race. If definitely making it to that race, certainly won't be that price. I'll tell you that now. Chris, I know you're probably not a man for American racing, but you couldn't miss this one.
No, you couldn't be helped but impressed. Obviously, the thing is, can he back it up again? Sometimes we just see these performances and think... they're all hype. I think the form sometimes has got to be tried and tested. We've got to see if they can back it up. Just a couple of horses that spring to mind. I think Gayoff won a Group 1 in Germany by 14 lengths, and everybody was getting carried away about him in the arc. Obviously, he blew out on that next up, but in time, he did become a very good horse. Sometimes, yeah, you just got to wait and see how it's going to unfold. But he did nothing wrong. He won it very impressively, and it'd be interesting to see what he can do next time out.
Really will. I'm very excited by this horse and looking forward to the Breeders' Cup if he makes it there. Now, that's the racing covered. Join us after this short advert to look ahead to the St. Ledger, as well as getting the gents naps for the week ahead.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast with Sam Hart, Chris Loader and Sam Hendry. We now move on to, we're trying to do this on the postcast now, a preview of one of the big races from the weekend coming. And obviously we've got the St. Ledger as well as the Irish Champion Stakes, but we're going to look at the St. Ledger currently. And New London sitting there as around an 8-13 favourite in the Ledger at the moment, Sam. Do we think this horse can be beat?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. You know, he could well just go and win easily and be a superstar. And there's been talk over the last couple of weeks about how maybe go for an arc afterwards. Maybe he is that good, but I think at 8-13, I certainly wouldn't be taking that price about him.
Okay, yeah. I mean, is there any in the race that you'd probably take note? I mean, we've got like Zveldar Elder off 5, Huya Mal, the Goodwood winner at 7, Haskoy, who has been supplemented for the race at 8, along with Secret State for the same stable at 8-1. Is there any that potentially catch the eyes in each way angle?
Yeah, I think that's credit to Dugmont for supplementing Haskoy, you know. It's always better to see someone taking a chance and taking a risk. I don't think she'll win, but it's nice to see nonetheless. And it adds a bit more interest to the race because I don't think it's a total standout field. But I quite like Zechariah for Freddie and Martin Mead. He was just beaten ahead by Eldarov in the Queen's Vase. He's about twice the price of Eldarov. He looked really impressive again in the Jeffrey Fear. You know, he maybe came back a bit too soon when he got beat at Newmarket a few weeks after Ascot. Then really impressive in Jeffrey Fear. I wouldn't be ruling him out.
Okay, Zechariah potentially for Sam there. And Chris, I know you're a man who does not like odds on favourites one bit, and you're going to try and get this horse beat, I'm sure. Who do you like at this stage?
Yeah, I think New London, on paper at this stage, is the most likely winner of the race. However, I think what would, for my opinion on the race, would be what the condition's going to be like. Is it going to be on the easy side of good? Is it going to be riding a little bit soft? There is rain forecast this week. And I just go back to that run at Chester on soft ground where he got done by changing of the guard. I think he has come on leaps and bounds since then, but I just think those races have been on quicker surfaces. And if it is a little bit slower, I'd be keen to take him on. And the one that I might take him on with, if he does run, is his stable mate, Secret State. Secret State is quite an interesting horse. He's been in handicaps a lot this year. He then stepped up into a group company last time out when he was behind Deauville Legend. Unfortunately, we can't see him here because he's a gelding. But I like his profile this year, and he won't mind a little bit of ease in the ground because he does have some form on it. He actually won at that Chester meet, funnily enough, when it was soft going. So I think the ground could play a part this week. So yeah, make sure you're watching the weather forecast and looking at your weather apps.
Yeah, it might be a race where you've got to wait until the day to potentially have a bet on that one. But yeah, the Ledger does look exciting. New London certainly the one to be and could continue the fine season for William Buick and Charlie Appleby. Now, that's it for all of the racing that we're going to be discussing, but we are going to have to get the naps before we go.
This will not be beaten.
So, Sam, I'll start with you. Who is the best bet for the week ahead?
There's a couple of, like, at Doncaster on Friday. I think in the Flying Scotsman, I think Nostrum will be the one to beat. Really impressive on his debut at Sandown in July. And the way he won there was in the manner of a really top horse. And I think you can follow that up in listed company on Friday.
Okay, Nostrum for yourself in the Flying Scotsman. I'm going to take you on. I think Highbank could be very exciting. Like I said at the start of the programme, I did say that Highbank was a horse whose maiden form is working out to be very, very strong. And I know that the team there think a hell of a lot of this horse. I've got a massive feeling this will shorten into single-figure odds potentially for the 2,000 guineas after the Flying Scotsman. So I'll take you on with Highbank. And Chris, who is the best bet for you this weekend?
Yeah, again, I liked a few here. I think November could go very well in the Sceptre Stakes at Doncaster on Wednesday. She's been declared for that. That's the German horse that's been competing in some really good races this year. She was last seen finishing third in the Valiant Stakes behind Oscala, who's boosted that form. She had some good form last season behind the likes of Real World. She finished fourth in the Coronation. This is an ease down in grade for her. Compared to what she's been running in a lot recently. So I think she could go well there. But my best bet of the week is going to be coming tomorrow at Goodwood, one of my favourite tracks. And it's going to be a horse called Some Nightmare for Gina Mangan and John O'Shea, seeing 9-1 on some of the early prices. I think the key to this horse could be coming here fresh. He's been put away for the last 56 days. And when he's got a... When he comes back to the track, he's got an excellent record of running well fresh. He won last season, this time last year at Goodwood, coming back from a break. And also as well, he won't mind a little bit of underfoot conditions. The ground is probably going to be riding on the soft side of good, at least at Goodwood tomorrow. It's been raining down in the south the last couple of days. So I think that will definitely play to his strengths. He's got a good draw as well, Stall 11. They like to normally come down the stand side when it's a soft ground. And I just thought he could go well with his previous course and distance form. Gina Mangan as well is riding out of her skin at the moment. She's operating at a 32% strike rate. She rode a big winner at the weekend on Ivan Brave. And I just think Some Nightmare, just that break might have done him the world of good. And I think he represents a bit of value at 9-1.
There we go. A good case made there. And just to let you know, Chris, I'm only a couple of miles from the track and there are currently showers just outside my window right now. So you'll probably like to hear that. Hopefully that will go in for you at 9-1. And that's it for the postcast. Bruce is going to be back on Friday. He's going to be looking at Doncaster and the Irish Champions weekend. That's going to be an absolute cracker. Big thanks, as always, to my guests, Chris Loader and Sam Hendry. Sam, have you got much planned for the week?
I'm on a stag do this weekend, actually, in Cardiff. So, yeah.
That'll be enjoyable. Good racing and a good stag do to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully Nostrum can give me some winnings so to kick me into the weekend. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no worries at all. Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure having you on. A great debut performance. And Chris, any plans for this week?
Just work, coming into the office on Wednesday, so it'd be great to catch up with some of the lads. But no, just work, I'm afraid.
Okay, good stuff. And like I say, do join Bruce on Friday for the weekend preview. He also have a fantastic panel on there, including some of our top tipsters. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to us on. All of the support is very much appreciated. And if you are having a bet, do remember to gamble responsibly. We'll see you soon.